AM 760 KFMV presents Auto Talk with host Brian Bowerson. Today's show is brought to you by West Escondido, West El Cajon, West Kearney Mesa, and West Miramar Automotive and Transmission, part of the West Automotive Group. Get your automotive questions answered. Call Brian right now, 1-800-760-KFMB.
All right, good morning, folks, and welcome to Auto Talk Radio. I'm your host, Brian Bowerstock, this morning. What are we talking about today? Oh, I do have a guest this morning with me. My pop flew all the way here from Ohio to hang out for a little bit, so he's actually joining me here in the studio. He's never been here. He's called in before, but he's never been here in the radio studio, so say good morning, Pop.
Good morning, Brian. How are you this morning? And welcome to all you listeners out there.
Have you ever been on the radio before?
I've got a radio voice.
I wonder where I got that from. I'm just asking, have you ever been on the radio before?
About 6 years ago.
Oh.
Right here.
Oh, you were. That's right. I forgot you did come in one time. No wonder you knew where the bathroom was here in the building. I totally forgot about that. So anyway, well, thanks for joining me this morning.
Thanks for having me.
Always happy to. Always happy to. All right, folks, welcome to Auto Talk Radio this morning on, here we are, June the 8th. We're halfway through the year already. And as I used to say to Dan all the time, Christmas is just around the corner. And he used to say it's not so. But it is so. And it's coming along. We're heading right into summer. Looks like we've probably surpassed a lot of the rain now as we're having a wet year, as they keep saying. But it looks like we're heading into some warm temperatures. So just a reminder, it's a good time before we head into any more holidays. We've already passed Memorial Day, but any more holidays, make sure you get your car checked out and serviced and get that AC checked out so you're not stuck alongside the freeway or stuck on the freeway in traffic. You go to turn that bad boy on and there's no cool air coming out. Well, this morning, I'd like anybody to give me a call that would like to talk about anything automotive related, obviously. 1-800-760-KFMB. That's 1-800-760-5362. Anything automotive related, I'm happy to talk to you about, and we'll do so. 1-800-760-5362. Do want to remind you, the show is brought to you, Auto Talk Radio is brought to you by the West Automotive Group, which consists of West Escondido Automotive and Transmission up at 2200 Auto Parkway in Escondido. AAA approved and STAR certified for over 26 years now, taking care of folks in North County. West El Cajon Automotive and Transmission, 844 North Johnson Avenue in El Cajon, AAA approved and smog certified out there in East County, taking care of folks for over 5 years now. And West Kearney Mesa Automotive and Transmission, 8027 Balboa Avenue, AAA approved and smog certified over there on Balboa Avenue, Central San Diego, taking care of folks over there for over 2 years now. Along with West Miramar Automotive and Transmission, previously as you know, me and Dan combined forces. Previously, Miramar 76 Service Center and Transmissions, Miramar Road and Eastgate Mall. Over there in the Golden Triangle, AAA approved and smog certified also. All of the West Automotive Group employees, along with myself, come together to bring you Auto Talk Radio as all of our employees truly believe in the same philosophy, and that is we never put money ahead of people. Very, very important to us. Stop in to have your vehicle serviced or repaired and find out what quality automotive service and repair is all about for sure. The West Automotive Group is proud to offer 6 months no interest for your vehicle service needs and repair needs that you can get signed up for sure. Any of the locations and where it's quick and easy and there to help you out, you can use that. It's on approved credit, of course, but they approve a lot of folks. So if you need a little help getting your vehicle fixed properly, then make sure that you do so. Okay, stop in. We'll get you helped out. Take advantage of our no-charge CertiCare transmission diagnosis along with our free shuttle rides to or from work or home and our low-cost rental vehicles available at all four locations. You can check us out at westautomotivegroup.com and make appointments, etc. Find out all about us. You can click through to the Auto Talk segments, obviously, right through there, or see my Auto Man segments right through there also if you've missed any of them on the CW News, where I'm the Auto Man every Friday morning. Around 8:15. Like I said, give us a call now with any of your automotive-related questions or topics. 1-800-760-5362. 1-800-760-5362. And let's grab... And this morning, actually, we're talking about new cars burning oil, more than normal, but like I said, I take anybody's questions or concerns about anything automotive related. We're happy to talk to you. Let's grab Pat in San Diego real quick. Good morning, Pat.
Good morning.
How are you doing?
I've got a question. My son has a 2001 Camry, and it gets real hot before the fan turns on. All the sensors have been changed. The radiator is new. We've gone through everything, but it gets to the point where, you know, you're afraid that it's going to overheat.
Gotcha. Well, number one, has anybody tested to actually determine is the temperature actually overheating or is the gauge reading improperly?
No, that is a question that we don't know.
Okay.
I don't know how you would test that or such.
Well, actually, we do it with sensors that can test the temperature to know, and we can verify is it all reading properly. That is something you may want to do if it is. It may not be. Does it actually ever boil over, or you probably shut it down before it gets to that point, I presume?
Shut it down before that, or my son turns on the air conditioner to get the fans to kick on.
Okay, and when the fans kick on, does it come? The temperature comes down?
It does.
Okay, so then it may be running warm. Let me ask you this then. Does the fan doesn't come on until it's extremely high, the temperature?
Right. It doesn't come on until it's extremely high. You just start to get a little scared.
Gotcha. Has the fan temp sensor been replaced on it too?
Yes.
With
the one on the bottom of the radiator has both for the gauge has been, you know, changed. And the one that I guess goes to the computer. So there's the three sensors, I believe.
Okay, gotcha. That's kind of strange because, like you said, when you turn on the AC, then the fans come on. I'd be concerned about maybe we're not getting the exact hot flow to these sensors causing them to come on. So there could be something going on there for sure. That's something that's going to have to definitely be checked out. Either that or I've also seen the wrong temperature sensors put in for the fans for different mm-hmm. models. What are they? What type of car are we talking about, number one?
It's a 2001 Camry Toyota.
Okay. So the sensors you put in, were they aftermarket, bought aftermarket? Or from Toyota?
They were aftermarket.
Okay. They're not OEM.
Right.
I've seen problems there too. But this is the problem you've been trying to cure before replacing any sensors, correct?
Didn't really see it so much. He just goes to school and it doesn't get, you know, that hot. But if he sits somewhere,
okay,
you know, we have. But I put the sensors in, you know, boiling water, and the one in the bottom of the radiator, and it does turn on at the, you know, the proper
temperature.
You know.
Okay.
Temperature. Mm-hmm.
So let me ask you this. Are there any cold spots in the bottom of this radiator or anything like that when you you get the car up to operating temperature? See, sometimes what will happen is we can have areas of the radiator, the cross fins that internally are plugged, solidified because of coolant failure or contamination inside the cooling system. And then so we don't get the hottest temperature of coolant running across these sensors. Therefore, they don't turn on until later. I've seen things like
right.
that.
Right, it's a new radiator.
Okay, it's a new radiator. All right. Well, mm-hmm. The other thing is coolant flow on this sometimes, depending on how well the coolant's flowing. But that's something that all these things going to need to be checked. I mean, without mm-hmm. question. Something strange kind of going on there. And I will tell you that it is probably running a bit warm. But the place that we would start is verifying the actual temperature. Is the gauge reading properly? And what the temperature is of this thing.
You can hook that to a computer and that'll tell you at what point.
Well, we use infrared sensors to figure out exactly what the temperature is. So yes, we can figure that out without question. Because here's the other thing. Even if it's not running as hot as it's saying, if you turn on the AC and those fans come on, the temperature's going to drop anyway regardless. So mm-hmm. There still may not be a actual temperature problem as far as the motors running, it just could be reading incorrectly.
Correct.
Okay.
Right, but you just don't want to go there. It's a little scary for them.
Yeah, no. So my point is I would definitely have it checked out, and we need to verify the temperature, and that's where I would start with this vehicle for sure, to see if the gauge is reading properly. All right?
All right, I appreciate your help.
No problem. If we can help you out, let us know, and you probably don't have that major of a problem, but just need to get it checked out.
All right. Thank you very much. You have a great day.
You too. Thanks for listening. Have a wonderful, safe weekend. Take care.
Thanks. Bye.
Bye-bye. So, yeah, great question as far as that goes. You don't want to be overheating the vehicle. It causes a lot more expensive damage for sure. So to figure out if the temperature gauge, it sounds like to me they put a radiator on the sensors in it. Most likely the gauge is not reading properly. He turns on the AC, the fans come on. It will lower the temperature because you turn in the fans on regardless. So, highly possible it's not reading right. But we want to find that out and be able to verify it and then correct that scenario so that it does read right. Let's grab Helen in East County real quick. You there, Helen?
Good morning.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm great. How about you?
Doing glad, awesome.
Glad your dad gets to join you.
Me too.
That's pretty cool. I have a 2004 Freestar, and it's kind of like my truck because I use it. I do finished carpentry, so I use it on occasion, not every day, and to carry stuff. And I took it. Someone said that the brakes were kind of weak, so I took it to a very large retailer, and they checked them. And when I picked up the car, it was really hard to move it. So I went to the manager, and they go, "Oh, it must need power steering fluid." So they put power steering fluid, and it was fine. I could, you know, turn, no problem. And over this was probably around 6 months ago. And now it's at the point where, so I thought, oh, well, it kind of got hard again. So my husband put some power steering fluid in it. And now he put some in, and it just went all the way down to the concrete, to the driveway. Yep. And so my two questions are, number one, is it an expensive thing to fix because it is a 2004? Is it worth it? Or is it like a hose? What would cause it just to leak so profusely?
That's a great question. There's a multiple places that a power steering system could leak from, though. We could have a power steering rack issue that's leaking out of the bellows, or we could just have a hose, or even one of the brass copper sealing rings for where the hoses attach, or a pump. There's a lot of things that can do that without question, or even that has a remote reservoir on it, so it could just be the low pressure feed hose to the pump. The best thing I could say, and I always tell folks, you know, get things checked out, find out exactly by somebody that's qualified, find out exactly what it is. And from that, then you're obviously can make an educated decision what you want to do with the vehicle cost-wise when you know what's going on with it. So
is it an expensive endeavor to even, is it worth it for something at 2004? I'll go to West.
Yeah, no. My point to that is, depending on how many miles are on the car and how much the repair is going to cost, but you're not going to know that. To look at it is not that expensive, no. So that's my best advice would be, let's get it checked out, find out what's actually leaking on it, and then we can give you an actual estimate on it. And then from that, you make a decision, hey, is the car worth it or not? How many miles are on the car?
Almost 200.
Okay. Well, we got to talk nicely. You know, my truck's got 320,000 miles on it. I don't want to upset my truck, so I'm very nice about these high mileage things. I love that truck. So my question I always ask folks is, you know, you have to look at things like, is the car in pretty good shape besides that?
Yeah.
Okay. So, and then depending on the cost of the repair versus going and buy it, does the car do everything you need it to do? That's another question I often ask customers. If it does and you're happy with the car, even if it's, let's say, an $800 repair, that's not even two car payments if you go out and buy another car. So that's a decision, you know. But if the car's not doing what you need to do, or it has a lot of things wrong with it, and you're just like, I'm not putting that much money in it, then so that's a decision that has to be made, obviously. But so the best thing I would suggest, let's get it in, figure out what's actually leaking. Could be a minor repair, or could be something a little more. But from that, with the numbers, then, like I said, you can make an educated decision on what you feel as far as, you know, hey, this vehicle's worth it. I'd rather do this than spend, you know, $40,000 on another vehicle or whatever it is. So, and then some folks often say, well, I'll go buy another used car. And I often say, well, that's fine, but let's be a little cautious because we may be buying other people's problems, too, that we have to fix after that. And you're committed. So at least with this car, you know what you got. And if it's working for you, then let's figure out what's leaking on it.
Super. Great advice. Thank you very much.
No problem. Thanks, Helen. Thanks for listening. Have a safe, wonderful weekend. Enjoy.
You too. Take care.
Take care. Bye-bye. So great questions for sure when it comes to the vehicle. And you have to make a determination. Is this vehicle worth putting the money into? I will tell you this, with the cost of vehicles today, if the car doesn't have a lot of things wrong with it, then, you know, I just depends. I see people put transmissions in 2003 Toyota Camrys because they love the vehicle and there's nothing else wrong with it. And I think we got one right now, a 2003 Camry. The guy's putting the transmission in. Number one, his wife loves the vehicle. She doesn't want to get it. There's no other major things wrong with it. It has like 140,000 miles on it. And they're going to continue to drive it. That's an expensive endeavor. But you know what? You can get at least another 100,000 miles out of that vehicle without a problem. So good advice to that is, yeah, just fix it and drive it. The cost of that transmission, even over a year, is cheaper than car payments. So it is what it is, you know. Let's grab Al in Lemon Grove. Good morning, Al.
Hello, Gary. Listen, I have a Mercury Mariner hybrid four-cylinder. It's a 2006.
Cool.
And it has the oil filter jutting out of the bottom of the engine right above the ground. Mm-hmm. And there's an Allen wrench fitting right in the center of it, a 6-millimeter Allen wrench bolt. Mm-hmm. And you loosen the bolt and about 2 tablespoons of oil come out and that's it. What is the purpose of that screw?
Is it in, it's in the side of the block, you mean?
No, it's in the bottom of the oil filter housing itself.
Oh, the housing itself. This is a canister style oil filter on that vehicle, right?
Yeah, yes, when yes. I went to buy the filter, they gave me a paper filter to fill it with.
Correct. So, number one, the purpose of that is to drain any excess oil prior to removing it. So, but it just depends on how much oil the thing holds inside there. That's it. There is no other purpose.
Why would? Oh.
You're going to
get the oil lost when you jerk the drain plug. So I don't see the purpose of that.
You'd have to ask a Ford engineer. I have to be honest with you on that one. They do all kinds of things that we look at and go, yeah, that's kind of weird. Why would you do that? But somebody was justifying their job, so they put an Allen wrench in there, a bolt.
Okay. The second question is. The car is constantly giving me trouble coming out of park. It's gotten, once in a while, it goes right out of park. Mm-hmm. It goes right into gear. But most of the time, it takes 15 or 16 jerks before it comes out of park. And one time, it stuck me on level ground for 40 minutes at the library coming out of park, and it finally came out.
Sounds like maybe the brake interlock switch is not always deactivating. So if that's the case, it you can't get it out of park with that. So until you mess around with it, and then all of a sudden it deactivates. That's what it sounds like to me. There is an interlock on that shifter, and the interlock itself is activated by stepping on the brake pedal, and it sends a signal and pulls the pin out so you can get the thing out of park. That sounds like you may be having an issue with that. It's possible.
The switch?
This could be the switch itself. Could be there's a connection problem. That's what it sounds like to me. So, and
where
it's
would
intermittent.
The switch be?
The switch on that is underneath the on the brake pedal. There's a couple of them down
underneath
there.
Underneath the brake pedal.
Yep.
Very good, Gary. Very good.
But then the actual switch to the pin to deactivate it is up in the shifter. So if you have a problem there, that's what I'm saying. There's something going on there.
Something going on.
That's going to have to be, somebody's going to have to test it and figure it out when it's doing it. So if it does it a lot, it's easy to find. If it doesn't do it a whole lot, then you got to keep attempting to duplicate it.
No, it gives me trouble nearly every time. Once in a while it goes right into gear without any trouble at all, but it usually gives me 15 or 16 jerks before I finally get it to cooperate.
Gotcha. Easy enough. You can get it into one of our locations. They can surely diagnose that and figure out which component's causing the problem.
Very good, Gary. Thank you.
Thanks, bye-bye. Al. Thanks for giving us a call. You have a wonderful, safe weekend.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. So, my name's Gary, too, apparently. It's okay. I've been called a lot worse along the way. I can guarantee you that. So, we're all good. Thanks for calling in, though, Al, and thanks for being a listener. We appreciate it. Without question. Always good questions from Al. He usually calls in. Usually he wants to talk about some old Mercedes he's got, though. So I wonder if he still has that vehicle. Maybe he does. Maybe he doesn't. All right, folks, you can give us a call here. 1-800-760-KFMB. 1-800-760-5362. as happy to answer any automotive related questions that you may have. So one of the things that we're talking about, what I wanted to talk about today, is new cars and the burning of oil. And we're seeing a lot more of this these days. There an analysis of about 5,000 vehicles from model years 2010 to 14. And now they're just doing a new one where we're getting vehicles up into 2018 and 19 vehicles. I pulled some other research up. And we got certain models that tend to burn more oil, without question. But this is relative to, there's a lot of manufacturers that have had concerns with this. One of the problems that they've seen extending out the, and we talk about this, extending out the oil change intervals, is that, you know, the cars are run extremely low on oil. Well, you continue to, every time between oil services, run a car low on oil, you start to do engine damage to it, without question. So on these cars, you know, what we recommend folks, if you're going to continue to extend the intervals out to 10,000 miles as they recommend, or 8,000 miles, or 7,500 miles, because even with synthetic, we recommend 5,000 miles on a vehicle. Couple reasons is, number one, we can, the oil level, we keep a good eye on. Number two, put an eye on the vehicle and making sure everything else on it is safe and fine and good to go when we service them. But that's a little bit of a different story than the burning oil thing. Excessive oil consumption isn't that normal, but manufacturers will tell you that if you burn less than a quart per thousand miles often, that's acceptable. Well, here's my question. If you extend your intervals out to 10,000 miles, like on some of the Cadillacs used to, and some of the BMWs and that, and you burn a quart of oil 1,000 miles, and the car holds 7 quarts of oil, how much oil do you have left at 10,000 miles? Well, you have none left. So Cadillac did see an issue where they were putting motors in vehicles because under warranty because they were burning up the oil. So if you're going to do that and you want to take care of your vehicle, then you have to be cognizant of checking the oil regularly. That's one of the things we're talking about this morning. Real quick, I'm going to grab Jeff here before we go to end break. Good morning, Jeff.
Good morning.
How are you doing today?
Very good.
What you got going on?
I'm a local home improvement contractor, and I've got a 95 Ford Bronco that
nice.
I want to convert it to a parade vehicle. I pull the roof and the seats and the beds and stuff off.
Cool.
And one of the things I'm concerned about is overheating, why it's going very slow for an hour down the street.
Well, that's probably got a 5.8 liter Ford motor in it, correct?
I believe so.
And and you're going to be creeping along with the thing. So the only thing I would do on that, if you're really concerned about that, is put in what's called an auxiliary electric fan in the front of the radiator that you can manually turn on if you see the temperature creep up. But I got to be honest with you, the way those trucks are built, the radiators in them, because it's a dual core, I would be surprised if, unless something's going wrong, that you see that vehicle overheat while doing that. It's just not, okay. They usually don't have overheat issues. So even if it's, you know, 85 degrees out, 90 degrees out or whatever, it will not. The fan clutches on those are really good. But like I said, you could add an auxiliary fan if you're really concerned about that. And if for some reason the temp started climbing, you just turn it on and it would definitely, with the size of the radiator in those, bring the temp down. As long as the cooling system and everything's in good working order.
It's got 265,000 miles on it.
Barely broke in.
Yeah, so it's ready for a new life.
It is. But if you kept up on the service, like I have 320,000 miles on my truck, and it's the original motor. You just, you know, hey, keep it serviced, and it'll keep going a long way. So, for
all right.
Sure.
Auxiliary fan, if I'm concerned. Thank you very much.
You got it, Jeff. Thanks for listening, and have a wonderful, safe weekend.
You too now.
Bye-bye. Take care. Bye-bye. So, another great question for sure. Ways to keep vehicles cool and creeping along. Auxiliary fans are great if you do a lot of off-roading too, because you're often putting load on the motor and pulling different things, and you're not moving a bunch of air. So those do help out without question. All right, folks, we're going to take our bottom of the hour break here real quick. Give us a call, 1-800-760-KFMB, 1-800-760-5362. If you're listening to Auto Talk Radio on 760 KFMB. All right, folks, welcome back to Auto Talk Radio. I'm your host, Brian Bowersock. It sounds like everybody's listening. Oh, I need to clear some things up. I probably wasn't as clear as I should have been with Al on the drain plug. I know I said the engineers and all that. Dennis, that works for me up in Escondido, that's at work right now and listening, text me. He's all, you need to be more clear about this. So, Al, the reason there's a purpose for everything, and I didn't mean to pick on the engineers, but like Dennis stated, he says, hey, you better make it clear, because you didn't make it really clear. That bolt is to drain out the small bit of oil so that when you remove the cartridge, it doesn't spew out the top of it. That's the main reason it's really there. So, but as you know, when we change oil, you can actually remove it, and it depends on what you're doing. We use these big drain pans, vehicles lifted in the air. A lot of times we don't pull those. So that's why I was being kind of funny about it. But yes, you can remove that. A small bit of oil will come down, and that lowers the level in that filter housing. So when you take the filter housing off, it doesn't spew out the top and all over the place. So important things to know. Thanks, Dennis, for bringing my attention to that. My guys always help me out and texting and things like that. My brother, who works for me, who's a master tech, said for the Bronco, put a fan clutch on it. Everybody texts me in the break and stuff like that, and especially my guys that work for me, about different things here and there to add on to stuff. So you can also put a heavy-duty fan clutch on that Bronco that you're using for a parade vehicle if you wanted to, and that way it'll definitely help out too. So there are a couple different options there for sure. Do want to remind folks, the show is also brought to you by Interstate Batteries, a battery for every need. Interstate Battery is the highest quality battery out there without question. We do not stock nor sell anything else at the West Automotive Group for one simple reason. They are the highest quality batteries. If you were to look in my motorcycles, trucks, cars, etc., you would find an Interstate Battery for sure. If you need an Interstate Battery for your any vehicle needs, give us a, you can jump on the West Automotive Group and make an appointment, or give us a call. 760-741-5323 is the Escondido store, and we'll get you directed from there. We're happy to help you out. If you need a battery for any other need, because they have batteries for everything, you can visit their storefronts at 9345 Cabot Drive in Miramar, or in La Mesa at 70th and University. Interstate Battery, a battery for every need. You can also email us anytime at autotalk@westautomotivegroup.com. I get plenty of people that do email us with questions, etc. We're always here to help. Even if you're not in the area, I get people sometimes that listen to the podcast from all over the place. I got a lady that emailed me from Chicago the other day with a question, and she started out with, well, I'm not going to be a customer of yours because I'm in Chicago. And I was all, no worries. Let me help you out with this. Made some suggestions for her. And actually, I have some good friends that own repair shops up in Chicago area. So in Cook County up there. So I know through the Auto Care Association, et cetera. So I recommended her over to talk to them. So then they'll get her helped out. Good stuff. Let's grab Lynn in San Diego real quick. What's going on, Lynn?
Hey, good morning.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm great. How are you?
I'm doing awesome. You got some suspension problems going on. What type of vehicle are we talking about?
It's a 2004 Lincoln Navigator.
Okie dokie. What you got going on?
It's bouncing. It dropped. The front dropped, the back dropped, and it's bouncing.
Okay. So now that vehicle has airbags on, air suspension on it. The air suspension depleted of air, and it doesn't pump up ever?
It doesn't. It just stopped pumping up. Okay. It just stopped.
Yeah. So one of two things. Either we have a leak, or those also have pumps that fail on them. And when so, then obviously can't. That system is very, there's level sensors, and there's all kinds of things that operate on that suspension system of that vehicle. It's very important that it's diagnosed properly. Otherwise, you could spend a lot of money throwing parts at that car and never get the suspension to work properly. So we work on a lot of those. And sometimes have the bags ever been replaced on it?
I'm a second owner of the vehicle. I don't think so. If the vehicle is in really good condition other than that. So I'm thinking no.
Okay. Well, it's possible because sometimes they do start to dry rot in that, and that may, but we don't know that that's the problem. And it's kind of unusual that all the front and rear are all flat. So I would think there's probably something else going on that's caused this, and may have a pump issue, or it could be a relay, as simple as that. Any of those things can prevent the system from working at all. And then you end up with, it won't pump up. So
now, what is the relay?
The relay actually supplies power to the pump. system.
So should I try to just replace that first as a
troubleshooter? Nope. I would diagnose it properly is what I would do, because you're just throwing parts of the car and you can create other issues. The best money spent on that will be just get it diagnosed by somebody that's qualified, whether it's us or somebody else. Just make sure it's somebody that's qualified. And from that, then you'll know what's wrong and you can make, you know, you can go from there. That's the best way to do it. So sometimes on that system, be fair warning, though, you could have a pump that's failed, and the pump could have failed. I'm just throwing this out there, or a component that's failed, could have failed and caused and failed because it was being overactivated because you had another problem, like a leak from one bag or something. So you that could be a multiple point repair on that suspension system, or it may be a single point repair, but you have to start with what you know that's failed. And that has to be determined by somebody that's qualified to diagnose that system. Because like I said, it could be something as simple as one of the level sensors stopped or quit working. So there's a lot to that system.
Okay, thank you. And don't just go throwing replacing things.
No, it's just on that car, you could spend $3,000-$4,000 just throwing parts at it, trying to figure it out and still not get it right.
Exactly.
So
exactly.
Yeah, spend the money to diagnose it properly, and you'll save money in the long run, I promise you.
Exactly. Thank you so much.
No problem, Lynn. Thanks for listening. Have a wonderful, safe weekend. Take care.
You too.
Okay. Bye-bye. It's a great question. If you start just replacing, and here's the other thing that you can do, is you replace known good components on by throwing stuff at it with another, you can create other issues. We've seen folks put inferior parts in replacing other parts, and now we've created more issues than one, and it becomes a crazy kind of circle trying to get it straightened out. Best thing to do is have somebody qualified to diagnose that system. That's an electronic air system, and it can have a lot of little different issues. We've had people replace components on those, come in and, oh, I replaced all the airbags. That's expensive to do all of them. It'd not be that. It'd be something else. Oh, well, you got a bad level sensor. That's why. So you spend thousands of dollars for when it could have been a, you know, $300-$400 repair. Let's get it diagnosed properly. Always the best. All right, let's grab a Dan in San Diego. It looks like he's having a rat problem. What's going on, Dan?
Yes, I heard before what you said to put under there, but unfortunately I didn't get it written down.
Okay, no worries. Pure extract peppermint oil is the best thing to use.
What's the name of peppermint oil?
Pure extract peppermint oil. So you're just looking for pure extract. But here's the best thing to do. I have nothing to do with this company, but it's called Godfather 2. Godfather 2, if you Google it, they have these special cans that come pre-packed with it. And then you have to do is go buy more peppermint oil, and you can screw the top off and add more to them as you need to, and you can put them in the engine compartment. And I'm telling you, they work like a champ. And you know what? You just smell like peppermint, so it's good. None of this moth. Well, people try mothballs and dryer sheets, and I've seen stuff all over, and I'm all, none of that seems to work. But I tell you this, rats, mice, squirrels, all of them, they don't like pure extract peppermint oil.
It's Scotts, Scotts?
No, it's the name of the company that it's Godfather.
Godfather.
Yeah, and LLC. And if you just Google it, it's Gard, Guard, Father, Father, comma, right. LLC. And they sell these. And actually, when you go on their website, you buy them right through Amazon. Uh-huh. So it works out well, and they're good. It's
very
a natural good. mouse
they
rat repellent.
They seem to love the battery. They just poop all over it. Poop on the exhaust manifold, every other crevice they can get some in.
Well, they just climb all over the place, and they make a mess. Let's face it. It's nasty. So,
thank goodness they didn't chew any wires so far.
What kind of car do you have? What make and model?
It's a 10 Hyundai Elantra.
Okay. Well, luckily it's not an Acura or a Honda or a Toyota, because it seems that rats and mice love – well, Honda had an issue with whatever they were putting in their wire coating. Rats and mice just loved it.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, so we've repaired a lot of Hondas and Acuras from the day that rats chewed them up bad. So
yeah,
we want to put those cans in there, get rid of those bad boys, get that all cleaned up, because you breathing that stuff with the motor running and that heating it up and stuff is not good either.
Yeah,
so,
yeah.
All right.
Well, thank you so much again.
No problem. No problem. Right. Thanks for calling, Dan. Take care now. Be safe.
You too.
All
bye-bye.
Right. Wonderful weekend. Bye.
You too.
We're going to have to take our last break here real quick. Folks, you can give us a call, 1-800-760-5362. As you're listening to Auto Talk Radio on 760 KFMB. Mark, hang tight. We'll get you right when we come back after these messages.
My Spark Card, we had our best summer yet. Imagine what the Spark Card from Capital One could do for your business. What's in your wallet?
Real Capital One customers pay for real stories. Credit approval required.
AM 760 KFMB.
All right, folks. Welcome back to Auto Talk Radio. I'm your host, Brian Bowersock. And the old man's in the house. Kevin texted me. He said, tell Dad to talk about his old cars. I texted him back and said, I don't have that much time, seriously. We're going to get these people in.
No, we have callers lined up, and they're more important than just old stories.
There you go, Kevin. Stop telling me what to do, younger brother. Always trying to be in charge. Huh. Anyway, welcome back to Auto Talk Radio, folks. We appreciate you joining us. Man, this hour has flown by, and I got some callers here I need to grab for sure. Let me grab Mark first in La Mesa. He's been waiting patiently. Good morning, Mark.
Good morning.
How are you doing this morning?
Yeah. Real great, thanks. I've got a 2001 BMW, and the service engine soon light comes on and then it goes off, and it runs well. I was wondering, can that be checked or when the light's out? If I bring it in and have somebody look at it, does that light have to be on?
No, absolutely. So that car stores all the data when of a few things. Number one, when the light was on and what all the sensors were doing when it came on, and we can look at all that stuff to make a determination. So, yes, that's all stored on that vehicle. As long as it doesn't lose battery power, then it you know, the car, it will stay in there whether the light's on or not. So,
okay, great.
Yeah.
Is it typical that it will stay on for a while and then go off and
Depends. So here's what has to happen, because the car itself, the powertrain control module and all the modules run self-tests. So if it if it runs a self-test later and it passes, it'll turn the light back off. But then what happens is it randomly runs these self-tests when the criteria is met. And if it runs it again, let's take an example. Let's say we have a air fuel ratio sensor that is working sometimes, and other times it doesn't. Its response rate is too slow. If it happens to run the monitor during that, then it will pick it up and turn the light back on. So that, hey, there's a problem. Anytime that it sees a problem when it's running a self-test, it'll turn the light on and keep it on for so many cycles. But if it runs a self-test again and it passes, then it'll turn the light off, but it stores all the data. So, and can be a pending code. So in that, I shouldn't use the oxygen sensor because those are, oxygen sensors, they run a monitor and they're not continuous. So yes, other things on the car are continuously monitored that it will turn the light on and keep it on no matter what. So, but it could be something like that, could be EVAP related. There's a lot of different things that could cause the light to come and go like that for sure.
Okay. But very good. I'll bring it in.
All right. Let us know, Mark. Hey, thanks for being a listener and have a wonderful, safe weekend.
Thank you very much.
Take care now. Bye. Bye. Okay. Great question for sure when it comes to that. But in that year vehicle, the data is stored. It stays there. We can go back and look at what caused it to come on, et cetera, and see if we can get things figured out for sure. Let's real quick grab Dale in Claremont. Good morning, Dale.
Yeah, good morning.
I see you got a car that stalls. What kind of car are we talking about?
It's a 92 Buick Park Avenue with a 3800 engine. It's if I drive the car maybe up to 4 miles, I don't have the problem. But if I go 8 to 10 miles, it when I come to a stop, it tries to stall on me. The engine, you know, tries to quit. So I got to throw it in neutral and rev up the engine to keep it going. And I've already consulted two different professional mechanics, and I tell them what I've already done, and they throw up their arms and say, hell, I don't know what it is if you've already done all that. I've replaced parts and don't know what else to do.
Yeah, it just depends on that. That's something that has to be duplicated, by a technician. Should be able to be found. I mean, those had a lot of crankshaft sensor issues.
I've had that replaced.
Okay. They also have a lot of wiring issues going down to it that could be an intermittent cause. And the reason why is it's down by the harmonic balancer, and they tend to get the wiring gets oil soaked. And inside the loom, you could be having a problem.
Okay, that I haven't looked at.
Yeah, they have ignition module problems.
I replaced that.
Okay. They also have problems where the pins on those ignition modules gets what we call spread as far as the connector, and they don't always make good connection. And you can have the same problem down at the crankshaft position sensor or with the wiring. So those are some things that need to be looked at. And I tell you what, the best thing is for us to be scoping it when we actually create the problem and figure out exactly where we're dropping signal at and go from there. There is a cure. Somebody's just got to put the time in and really know about diagnosing cars. Today we have too many folks that just kind of semi-diagnose cars.
Yeah, right? Well, what they do is they put it on the computer. If the computer doesn't say anything, they don't know what to do.
So what you need is somebody like of my vintage and most of my techs that work for me that used to be diagnose vehicles with a fluke meter back in the day before we had scanners. So you need to know how to pin test a vehicle for sure when you get into these kind of scenarios with that your car.
I'm going to check that wiring that goes down to the crankshaft sensor.
It's a good idea. And there's
I've done everything else.
And GM makes replacement connectors for those.
Oh, they do?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Oh,
yep.
Oh, great.
Sure do.
Okay, well, I'll check that out. Thank you very much.
Let me know, Dale. You take care. Thanks for being a listener. Be safe this weekend.
Okay, you too.
Okay,
bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Great question. Those older vehicles, they do have some of those problems. And diagnosing those vehicles, you don't just scan them. That 92 doesn't give you a lot of information when you scan it. You get a code, maybe, if you're lucky. Otherwise, you got to know how to be a technician, actually pen test it properly, figure out what's going on with it. So good stuff. Well, that's going to wrap it up for today. Thanks for joining, Pop. By the way, Dan just texted me. He's out having fun four-wheeling right now. And he said, tell Pops he said hi. So Dan, Debbie, miss you guys. Can't wait till you're back from your extended vacation. So,
yep.
When Dan gets back in town, we're going to drag him back in here with me, of course, as always. So we'll do that then for sure. Hope you guys are having fun out there. Dan's taking some well-deserved vacation. San Diego and everybody out there, keep the rubber side down and shiny side up. Up next is a smart investing crew. They're around here somewhere. Oh, there's Brent. There's Chase. What'd you do with your dad, man? Where's your dad? So, yeah. Well, one of them will be here. At least Chase is here. So stay tuned. They'll definitely help you with your investment knowledge. Thanks for joining us on Auto Talk Radio this morning. We'll catch you next Saturday. Be safe.
KFMB.
West Automotive Group. Whether your personal vehicle or a fleet of vehicles needs service or repair, go to West Automotive Group. Brian Bowersock, he is San Diego's car guy, right? He has auto. He's the host of Auto Talk Radio on Saturday mornings at KFMB, which is the only radio show that I've ever called into. And also, he's the auto man on the CW San Diego, and his customers have been receiving top-of-the-line maintenance and repairs since 1992. They make it all easy for you. Right, free shuttle service to and from work or your house, low-cost rental vehicle if you need that, while their professional ASE-certified technicians provide you with the ultimate automotive experience. Take advantage of their no-charge AAA 40-point vehicle inspection with any service or repair at one of their four convenient locations, Escondido, El Cajon, Kearny Mesa, now Miramar, UTC. West Automotive Group, where they never put money ahead of people. You can book an appointment, westautomotivegroup.com.
What's now? What's next? All you need to know. AM 760 KFMB San Diego. This